Now, part two of our dramatisation of Sunset Song, set in a farming community in northeast Scotland shortly before the outbreak of the First World War. Young Chris Guthrie and her family have moved to a new farm in Kinraddy, but the land has proved hard to farm, and the loss of her mother in tragic circumstances has cast a shadow of grief.
Trey! Trey! Trey!
Chris Quine! I was doing it to Mel with Rob. I saw you'd put the sheet on your gate, like we said for the sign. What's wrong, Chris? What is it?
It's Father, Trey.
What's happened? Is he...
He's dead, Trey. My father's dead.
Sunset Song by Lewis Grassic Gibbon. Dramatised for radio by Gerda Stevenson. Part 2.
Come over to the coffin now, Chris. It's the last time you'll see your father. Oh, come on, Chris.
I'm coming, Auntie.
Oh, he's looking fine and decent. Mistress Monroe's done a grand job. I've never seen him look so content. A blessing to slip a wee in your sleep.
It is.
I've come to pay my respects, Chris Quine.
Oh, come away, Rob. This is Rob Duncan, Auntie, from the mill.
Well, well. Goodbye, Blaweeryman. He was a fine neighbour.
Thanks, Rob.
There to screw the lid down now, Chris.
Goodbye, Father.
Kiss him now, lass.
I can't do that. I'll get my hat and coat.
But you're never going to the grave. It's not decent for a woman.
There's no son or brother here for him. I'll see him to his rest.
You do that, Chris. You do that.
Che and Long Rob, with our neighbours Ellison and Gordon, carried the coffin to the stair foot and settled it on their shoulders. They went slow with it through the front door, the wind blowing in their faces as they held down the hill. Behind them followed the Reverend Gibbon. I was walking alone, till you and Tavendale caught up with me.
Chris, I'm sorry to hear about your father. Will you mind if I walk with you to the graveyard?
And why would I be minding you, Ewan?
For resurrection and life are promised through Jesus Christ our Lord, who died long ago in Palestine and rose on the third day. And he will take from
Uncle, and strange it was to think that Father himself was there in that dark box heaped with little flowers that folk had sent. Father, whom we were to leave here, wrapped in red clay, alone in darkness and earth when the night came down. Surely he'd be back, waiting for me up in Blaweery. I'd hear his sharp, vexed voice and see him come fleetly out of the house, that red beard of his cocked as ever at the world he'd fought so dearly.
Take the cord now, Quine.
I looked down and couldn't see. Blind with tears in the rain, lowering the cord, with the hand of the grave digger over mine. I hadn't thought I would ever cry for Father. But I hadn't known. I was praying then, the coffin dirling below the spears of the rain. I minded wildly, in a long, broken flash, all the fine things of him the years had hidden from our sight. His justice, and the fight unwearying he'd fought with the land to have us clothed and fed and respectable. He'd never rested working and chaving for us all. Only God had beaten him in the end. And I minded the long roads he'd tramped to the kirk with me when I was young. How he'd smiled at me and called me his lass. In the days before the world's fight
and the fight of his own flesh grew bitter and poisoned his love to hate. Oh, Father. Father. I didn't know.
£300, Mr. Semple. £300?
A tidy sum, and all of it to your niece. That's what it says.
I can't believe it.
It's here in black and white. Everything to my daughter, Christine Guthrie.
Is Will not mentioned at all, Mr. Semple?
No, it was just after your brother had left for the Argentine that your father came over to St. Haven and asked me to draw up his will.
And what about me and my husband? Oh, that's a fair scunner. Not a penny left his ain sister and his twa wee laddies I've looked after all these years for him.
I'm afraid not. Well, you'll have to think it over, Christine. What do you want to do with your money? And the farm? Blaweedy?
Oh, I'll do that, Mr. Semple. I'll do that.
The path's just down here, Chris. Are you all right?
Aye, but it's fair steep.
Are you feeling dizzy?
I'm fine, Ewan, fine. Just a bit too full of young swanky dinner.
Oh, I've got you. There. See, here's a ledge of sand we can sit on.
Ah, oh, listen to the boom of those waves. It's like a gun going off. A cannon firing from Donotar's battlements.
Aye, it is.
Ah, it's a fine view of the castle from here. William Wallace and Mary Queen of Scots stayed there, you ken.
I'd rather be outside here than stuck in there. I can't be bothered with dusty old museum places. Do you want a piece of orange?
Aye, please. Lovely the smell of it, the peel. Are you sure Mr. Gordon will no mind you missing the market? Will he not be waiting for you instant, he?
Don't worry about Mr. Gordon.
But you told him you'd only stop a minute for a blether with me. He was hardly expecting you to take a whole day off.
He can dance a jig on the head of the mark with sheer rage for all I care.
What's it like at Upper Hill? Does Mr. Gordon treat you well?
Well? I might be his foreman, but I'm a slave just.
Do you have a room up there?
Oh, aye. You'll have to come up and see me, Chris. Plenty scope for entertaining in the bothy. 6 square inches of a damp corner all to myself, and the farmhand's genteel clake for company.
Well, you can aye call by to see me at Blaweedy.
Will you be staying on there, then?
Aye. I had a notion I might go to the university in Aberdeen, come out as a teacher and finish with this silly sauce of a farm. Ach, I hate it and love it. The land, the way it holds you and hurts you. But I could never leave it.
Chris, do you like me a bit?
Can I sow you at all? That's why we're out lazing in this place together. I like you fine, Ewan. Ewan. Is it true that story about you and old Sarah Sinclair?
What? What's this?
Ugh, never mind. I don't want to care.
Oh, damn well listen now you've asked me. I kissed her. And held her. And pleasured her. And she cried out. Cried out she wanted more and more till she'd had her fill and was glad. Glad of it. Now you're frightened. Frightened a woman might feel like that. Well, maybe someday you'll feel like it yourself.
Maybe I will. But when I do, I'll get a better man than you to serve me.
Chris. Come back. Chrissy. Please. I didn't mean to hurt you.
Oh, you didn't. It was myself. I'm sorry, Ewan. I should never have asked. And my name's Chris, by the way.
Chris.
We're daft, just, the two of us.
God, it must be getting fair late. I'd notice how low the sun was. Come on, We'll be catching the last train to Kinraddy by the skin of our teeth.
Clyde! Here, lass! Here! Bess! Over here, lass! Good lass, Clyde! Good lass, Bess!
Chris Guthrie, is that you?
I'm over here!
What are you doing in the Knapp Parks, Chris?
I lost my way, Che. I dropped my lantern and it went out. I was trying to get my horses in.
Ewan's here too. He's on his way to help you with your horses. She's over here, Ewan. Chris! Are you all right, Chris?
Aye. But Bob's dead. He's dead, Ewan. My poor old horse. He's lying up there in Balawiri's top park. The lightning must have hit him.
Maybe the fence. They'll be alive, they all are.
Aye, keep away from the fences, for God's sake, Chris.
Damn it, Minta, could climb back up to my house and get her warmed up by the fire. I'll see to the horses. You can't go back to Blaweary till the storm dies down, Chris.
We ran through the park to Peasy's Knapp. The lightning ran and glowed along the barbed wire, a live thing, a serpent that spat and glowed and hid its head. Blaweary looks as black as a lum hat in the dawn.
So it does. That's the horses stabled. I've made them a shakedown.
Oh, thanks, Ewan.
Are you warm enough, Chris?
I'm fine now. Che's hot toddies would melt an iceberg. What'll we do with poor old Bob?
We'll be able to sell him to the knacker's yard at Brechin. I'll come over and see to him in the morn.
Oh, thanks. Oh, smell the honeysuckle. The scent of it after the rain. There's been a power of it this year.
Come here, Quine.
Wait, Ewan. Come up and see me tomorrow evening.
Chris, when will you marry me?
Oh, gosh, but I'm tired.
Chris.
Strange and eerie it was, I mind, the eve of my wedding, sitting alone in my room by the window, a night that was rimed with a frost of stars. Mother and father in the graveyard, Will across the ocean, and my wee brothers lost to me lang syne. I watched the winking of the paraffin lights in the farmhouses till they sank and went out, and I was left in a world that might be dead. Thoughts came to me, daft thoughts, that this marriage of mine was nothing, not even a ripple on the flood of times to be. I got out of my clothes and looked down at myself, naked in the mirror. I saw the light, white on the satin of my smooth skin. I bent to see if that dimple still hid there under my left breast. It did, as deep as ever. Somehow it seemed that never again would I be myself, have this body that was mine, my own.
Fill up your glasses, folk. We'll have a toast for the best man next. Fill up now.
It's fine to be young and married, Mistress Darvindale, for that's what we'll have to call you now. And maybe he'll treat you all right. But mine, my first man, him it's now deed. God, he was a fair bull of a man, and no just the first night either. He was high-hearted, near deep me today, he would. He hadn't fallen over the edge of a quarry 9 years come Martin,
miss. Hey, woman, are you trying to frighten the lass? She'll be fine, her lad's both blithe and kind.
Thanks, Kirsty.
Come on, Chris, eat something, you'll fair go famished.
I'm fine, Ewan.
Oh, whist, now. A wee bit hush for the best man! Oh. All the way down for the Highlands, Mr. Angus MacIvor!
Ladies and gentlemen, I've never seen a sweeter lass than this lovely bride. Yeah. Or known a better friend than the groom. I wish them long and lovely days. A marriage in the winter has the best of it. for is not the spring to come? And the seed time springing of their love? And the bonny days of summer flowering it? And autumn with the harvest of their days? And when they pass to that other winter together, they will know that is not the end of it, but a sleep that in another life shall burgeon fresh from another earth. I can only believe that two so young, once made one flesh, will be one in the spirit, and have their days built of happiness, and their nights of the music of the stars. Ladies and gentlemen, please be upstanding. Raise your glasses to the bride and groom.
Oh, that was a fine speech. Oh,
fine, you say, daft Highland poet. Oh, they're all I got, the Red Highlander.
Few words. I'd like to say a few words.
A bit hush for Rob here now. Rob, it's I yours, mate.
Thanks, Jay. Just want to say, I never married because I've got overmuch respect for those kittle folk women. But if I was 10 years younger, I'm damned if my respect would have kept me from having a try for Chris Guthrie. And beating that Highland chiel you and Tavendale at his own game. Aye, Chris is clean thrown away on her husband, as she'd have been on any husband except for myself.
I'll brain him.
The limmer.
Stuart, it's just Rob's bit of fun.
Ah, well, no doubt she'll trade him up. Marriage is like yoking together a couple of two-year-olds. They're kittle and brisk on the first bit rig unless they've fallen out as soon as they're yoked and near kicked themselves and their harnesses to bits. But the second rig's the testing time. It's then you know when one's pulling and one's holding back.
Enough, Rob.
Well, I won't say any more about horses. It's a fascinating topic. I'll just get back to marriage and say we wish all the best to Chris. So sweet and trig. And to Ewan, the Highland Cataran. And long might they live and grow healthy and wealthy and content.
Bride and groom.
Bride and groom.
Coming speeches now. Get your fiddle, Rob. Out to the barn, everyone. The night's near on us. Who's for a dance at Chris's wedding?
The doctor's here to see you, Chris.
What's this you've been up to, Chris Guthrie?
Stay by me, Ewan.
I'm with you, lass. I'm here.
Don't worry, he can stay. Now, let's see a bit more of you, young Mistress Tavendale. I need to listen to your chest.
Yon thing's cold.
That's fine. Now, a wee bit lower down. And you tell me you don't know what the thing is, Chris Tavendale?
Oh. I can.
But not Ewan?
No.
You're going to be a father, Blaweary man.
What?
You needn't abide. Away and make me a cup of tea.
Aye. Right, I will. I'll do that, Doctor.
Now, Chris, let's see if everything's all right. Well, damned easy for him to sing, eh, Chris? But you'll sing yourself when this bairn comes into the world.
Aye. And maybe a winner if I die in childbed.
You've a body as fine as a cow or a rose. You'll be fine, lass. How do you feel?
Well and strong, like they must have felt. Ah, those mothers before me that didn't live.
You'll have no trouble, believe me. You needna fret.
I couldn't help it. I felt dazed, as though running in the fields with Ewan, I'd struck against a great stone. I thought of Mother, not as Mother at all, just as Jean Murdoch, another woman who'd faced the same terror.
Well, it's happened.
What's happened, Shaman?
The war, Ewan. The war's on.
What war? Losh, Jay, you'd better come in and sit down. You're fell excited.
It's in the paper, Chris. Here, look. Britain's at war with Germany. The Germans crossed over the Belgian frontier last week and now we're taking them on.
What for? What's it to do with us? It's the workers. They're fed up with the capitalists and toffs feeding on the fruit of their labours. Aye, the world's changing. The march will be on now for machines to give freedom to the working man. And a damn good thing too. Once this war's over, there'll be no more slave labour.
I thought it was yon Archduke Ferdinand getting a bullet through his neck that started it. No, the workers.
Aye, the Serbs are nae happy, nor the Russians with the Austro-Hungarian toffs.
Ach, gee, it's not our war. It's peace I'm needing with my bairn on the way.
Aye, there's aye daft devils fighting about something or other. God, they can fight till they're black and blue for all I care, if only the lay field would come on a bit faster. The straw's that short. It breaks my heart.
Now breathe, Chris. Deep breath.
The war's on right enough. And me. Iron Hook's tearing. Oh, God.
You're doing fine, lass. Here's the midwife now.
Hello, Mistress Tavendale.
It's Chris. Chris Guthrie to you. Hi. Oh, God. But I'll no scream. I'll no scream. Hold my hand, you.
I'm here, Chris. I'm here.
Oh, I forgot. I forgot your tea. Hmm? What do you have for your tea, Ewan?
He's a grown lad. He can fend for himself, Chris.
Boil yourself an egg, Ewan.
Boil what, Chris? What did you say?
Boil your heat if you like!
Red hot pincers were riving me apart. The doctor and the midwife felt it something alien and white. It was my own body, I minded. I heard myself scream, hands on me, holding me, tormenting me. And young Ewan Tavendale came into the world and its war.
Be ye warned, children of God as you are, every man, woman and child among you, the German Kaiser is the Antichrist. And until this foul evil has been swept from the face of the earth, there can be neither peace nor progress among God's flock again.
I'm in Ewan. You've brought it a fine bit bairn between you. Chris and you. Health to young you.
Aye, health to the bairn.
He's fair, Bonnie.
And noisy, Che. Lungs like leather.
Is he hungry, Chris? Will I take him out his crib?
Aye, but mind I no drop him.
By God, am I likely to? Come here, my bairn.
I've come to take a look at the new blowie, they marry.
He's in fine voice, I hear.
You can maybe teach him to use it for the singing, Rob.
Aye, come away and Rob. We're wetting the bairn's head here with Che. There we are, wee one. Your mother will give you some peace.
They're saying every man might have to fight for bairn and wife before this war's over. The papers are full of it.
Och, havers, gee. Those that want to fight, all the MPs and bankers and editors and muckers, they should all be locked up in a pleater of a park and made to gut each other with grapes. There'd be no great loss to the world, and a fine bit sight it would make for decent folk to look on.
See, Ewan, his wee tongue. Like a wee red fish and his wee red mouth.
Aye, so it is. Your health, Rob.
Ta, Ewan. And the bairns.
Well, Rob, man, you can say what you like, but the Germans are devils just. Raping women and braining bairns all over Belgium. It's hell let loose.
Ach, Belgium's been asking for it. What about the Congo and your Belgians there?
What a blither about a war, isn't it, Ewan?
Did you hear young James Leslie's been killed out in France?
What? Him that took over from me at Upper Hill?
Aye.
I mean, he'd only just joined up.
What on earth did he go and join up for?
Fair daft, when the war'll soon be over.
Poor lad. He maybe fancied a bit change from yon damp bothy. Just like your daddy, eh, Ewan?
Did you see him look up at me there? Chris Quine, did you see that, Che? Rob?
I did, aye. I saw it.
He kens his feather right enough.
I'm joining up myself. Got my papers.
Gee, man. It's just plain hysteria. For folk with sense to take part in the sauce and yammer about king and country.
You're havering, Che. You don't mean it.
Damn it, aye. That I do. If the Germans win, there'll be an end to peace and progress forever.
For Yael was a patriot. A fine and holy light unto Israel. and we in like manner must take a leaf from the pages of that holy woman's book. Right here, in our midst are traitors that have sided with the Antichrist. Shame on Kenradi that it should be so. Root them out, I say. Root them out in the name of the Lord.
Here he is, the Kaiser's crony.
Here he is, and it's not the Bible he's reading.
Good day to you, Long Robman. And how's your friend the Kaiser the day? Is he no sitting out in the sun with you?
The Kaiser's no friend of mine.
Oh, it's no what we've heard. But then, we wouldn't expect the truth from a heathen like yourself that was never baptised.
Let's duck the mucker! Baptise him in his own milk!
Come on, give him a good duck!
Get your hands off me, you imbeciles!
Watch who you're insulting, Rob Duncan!
Watch who you're manhandling!
Squeal awa, man, eh? Squeal awa like a stuck pig! Tink! He's a law! He's hiding in his house!
After him! Ram the door with a shooter!
Get
still! Come on! You traitor!
Smashing my window, would you scum!
Take care now, Rob, man. Put down that gun.
You'd better run like rabbits, then, or I'll have you for my tea.
You're late to bed. Wee Ewan was asking for his daddy to kiss him goodnight.
Oh. Sorry, lass. I stopped in by to see Kirsty. And Jay was home.
What? Back on leave?
Aye. Huh? He says he'll be up to Blaweary for a blether with you in the morn.
How is he? Did he say what it's like on the front?
No. No, but he's thin, Chris. And quiet. Not like Che. Fair upset he was about the trees at the Knapp being hacked down.
What's Kirsty having them hacked down for?
It's no Kirsty, it's the war. For aeroplanes and such like. All Kinradi's trees are to be felled.
What?
Aye. The whole of Peasy's Knapp will be open to the northeast now, says Che. It'll be the end of a living there, he says. It's true.
Did you see Rob then?
No. Munro was right. The police had been and they've taken him away.
What? For not signing up?
Aye. It's every man they'll be wanting now. With conscription in. They've carted Rob off to the jail. God knows how long he'll be there or what they'll do to him.
You'll nae bend for them. He's like iron, is Rob.
Well, let's hope so. Oh. I'd hate to see him broken.
Oh. Your hands are cold. Here, I'll warm you up. Ugh, never mind the damned war. The wee Irish steers are fattening up fine. And I've still got a store of sugar in the barn. I'm wanting another bairn, Ewan.
Dinna deave me, Chris. I'm needing sleep.
Ewan? What's the matter?
I'll be away the morn.
What do you mean? Where to?
Aberdeen. I'm sick of folk laughing and sneering at me for a coward. Much in Munro, I girding at me. And not wait till I'm called up.
But you and
I'm off to the war. Let's sleep now.
Oh, but that spring was long. Out in the park I'd go to help old John Briggson. Ewan had hired him for help the autumn before. The crops had been that thick. Glad I was Briggson had stayed on. He'd made rare friends with young Ewan.
Rob? Rob!
Chris? God, it's Chris Guthrie.
Oh, Rob. I heard you were back home. My, you've grown thin. But what are you sitting here in the dark and cold for? You should be in your bed.
Oh, I've had overmuch a bed. I was waiting about for the grocer. He kens I'm home, but he didna stop. I suppose he's still a little willed, pro-Germans like.
Never mind the grocer. I've brought you your dinner. You'll be needing it if it's true what folk are saying about yon hunger strike business.
Och, I had to do something to spite them.
They didn't hurt you, did they, Rob?
Oh, I'm fine, fine.
You're a ghost of yourself, Rob. A ghost, just. Have you seen a doctor at all?
Aye. They took me to one in the jail. He said I was a hopeless case, nae use to king and country.
I can believe it. Now, you'll have a fine feast. See? Blaweary oatcakes. I'm just after baking them. And fresh eggs and butter. And jam. I picked the brambles with young Ewan last week.
You shouldn't have done this, Chris, quite.
Wisht. You'll have me crying. Now, I'll get this fire set.
How's Ewan?
He's joined the North Highlanders.
Is he out in France?
No, training in Lanark. I haven't seen him for months.
And Che?
Back in France, on the front.
There's no sense in war, Chris. No sense in it at all.
Kinradi's fair a wasteland athout its menfolk.
Do you ever hear fae Will?
Aye, he's with the French army, an interpreter. He's learned up the Spanish and French in the Argentine.
He was aye a lad to gang his ain the road, Will.
And the Reverend Gibbon's gone. A fancy chaplain in Edinburgh now or some such like.
Oh, well, he's no loss.
Farewell and adieu to you, Spanish ladies.
Next morning, I heard a sound Kinradi had missed for many a day. I looked out from Blaweary and saw Rob, a dot in the sunlight, singing as he made slow way to the moorland he'd wrought at so long, his horse and Sholty grazing in a park of the mill. And I dreamt in the autumn dawn that soon maybe the war would end, and they'd all be back in Kinradi as once they'd been, Che and Long Rob and my dark lad, Ewan himself.
Oh. Hell, Chris. What a bloody place this is.
Oh, Ewan. I thought you were never coming. You sent in your telegram.
So you got it, eh?
Aye. I thought you'd missed your train.
Pleased to see me. Come here. Give us a kiss, you bitch.
Here's the wee one. Who's this, Ewan?
You can't got your tongue, wee man, eh? Eh?
It's your father, Ewan?
Aye, well, let's hope so.
Say hello to your daddy. Oh, he's been that excited. We were out picking flowers for daddy, weren't we?
I wish you're whimpering. I didn't come home to hear you whine. Any supper left? Unless you're too bloody standoffish even for that.
It's all waiting for you. Do you want to change out your kit
first?
What?
Dress up like a bloody conchie? I'll leave that to your friend Rob Duncan.
Oh, Ewan!
Oh, for God's sake, let a man sit down. What the bloody hell is this on my chair?
It's wee Ewan's
book. Dirt! Ah. What a blasted climb to a blasted place. Here, give us some tea.
Take your book upstairs, laddie. I'll be up in a minute.
Well, damn it. Have you nothing to say to me now I've come home? I'd have done better to spend a night with a tart in the town. Oh, good God! What are you snivelling about? Eh? Your eyes snivelling, I mind. Or is it the drink that bothers you, my lady laddie-da, eh? If you think I'm still the fool I was, slaving away my days here in Blaweary without so much as a dram to savour the sauce, you can think again. You can bloody think again.
There's your tea.
Come here. Just try to be standoffish now, eh? What the devil do you think I've come home for? Eh? I'll warm you up down there, Clay. I've had woman enough to please me that I liked in Lanark. Tales to tell you that'll make your blood hungry for the same.
He'd gone away, Ewan Tavendale, but come back a man so coarse and cruel that hate came singing in my heart in place of love. Hate that never found speech. It was like struggling with someone deep in a nightmare as I lay in bed beside him and he took me. I closed my eyes and pressed my knuckles against my teeth that the pain might waken me. After that first night, he never touched me again. I would lie beside him, quivering, waiting. He'd lie quiet, like a cat with a mouse. Then he'd laugh out after a while and go to sleep.
Chris, when the hell are you bringing me up some breakfast? Have you gone clean daft? Leave that broom and get me my...
You're in need of breakfast. Get it.
You bitch. I'll give you...
You lay a finger on me.
Put that bloody knife down. God save us, it's me that's to go out there and do the killing. I've no need of breakfast from your stuck-up hands. I can get it myself. I know what you're thinking. But it's you that's been driving me to the pub ilka day with your glowering looks. Christ, you'd think a man could come home on leave and have a bit peace. But no. It's the hell of your silence I've had to put up with all week. It's a fine send-off, this. For a man going out to France to do his bit.
I listened to the catchphrase, contempt in my heart, and he saw it in my eyes. As I watched him wash and shave and dress, I knew what I'd always known. It was him that was the frightened one. I'd slaved to tend him and love him, give him the best, body and mind and soul I'd given, to a drunken lout from the plough stilts.
Well, that's me. Pack on my back, Glengarry on my pow. I'll swing my kilt down the road then. Did you ever see such a fine soldier as your daddy, young Ewan? Well, if your mother's nothing to say to me, how about you, eh? Well, that's me away then.
I watched him from the kitchen window go slow down the road to the turnpike bend. I knew he believed I'd cry out to him at the last. He stood there, trying not to look back, fumbled for matches and lighted his pipe. A cloud came over the sun and went on with him, out of my sight. I stood long, staring at that point where he'd vanished. My heart tearing at my body. I'd let him go without a kiss or a parting word. He was mine. Mine still, in spite of all he'd done and said. He'd lived more closely in my body than the heart that broke now. Young Ewan was his, oh God. I'd never let him go like that. I prayed and prayed for him to come back, to kiss and hold me just once before he went down that road. Then I saw the clock had moved an hour, and I heard the whistle of his train across the hills.
How's Chris? Bonnie as ever.
Hello, Rob.
Well, come here, young Ewan. Up on my shoulders, my laddie.
You'll have a good view up there, Ewan.
Thought I'd give you a bit hand with a stooking. My mill won't miss me. It's only the one customer I have these days and I'm looking at it.
Oh, Rob, are they still keeping away?
Oh, the brave citizens of Kinraddy had sooner choke than pay a penny to a congee.
Aye, that they would.
Och, I'd have gone with Che when he went back to the front. I'd have gone with him, Chris. If only.
If only what, Rob?
If only I wanted to be easy. Easy and a liar. But I've never gone that gate yet, and I'm damned if I'll begin for any bit war.
I'd rather have you here, Rob.
Still no word from Ewan?
Aye, yesterday.
A letter? How is he?
Ach, it was just a bit scrape on one of those field postcards from France. Two words. I'm well. He was never one for the writing.
Come on then, Quine. Let's get this stooking done.
That's your time up on the high wire, young Ewan. Oh, down you come.
We stooped together, Rob cheery as ever, and old John Brigson with us, wise and canny and kind. Strange, I'd hardly known Rob before. Long Rob of the Mill, uncle and atheist. But now, each night of the harvest, it seemed I'd known him always, closely and queerly, as he sat at the supper table. His hand by the side of my hand. Thin and strong, the miller's horse-taming hand.
Well, it's finished, Chris Quine. And I've liked this fine.
Oh, Rob, I've liked it too. I wanted this harvest to never end, for us to tramp it forever. You'll still have to come by at night to sing young Ewan to sleep. He's very used to it now. And there's none left in Kinraddy can sing the old songs.
That's all the other tunes you hear from the bothies now. Tipperary, and they squall in English things like the squeak of a rat that's bedded in syrup. I'm away to Aberdeen to enlist the morn.
Rob? I thought...
So I'm giving in at last. I suppose they'll say. And this is ta-ta, Chris. Mind on me kindly sometimes. Why, lass, dinna cry. No for me.
Oh, Rob. Rob.
Oh, we're daft, Chris Quine.
I can't think tomorrow you'll be gone. Everything I've ever loved leaves me for that madness out there. Everything, Rob. Everything I've loved and desired is sucked away into that madness.
Chris, we mustn't.
Aye. Come on, Rob.
And he carried me there. Out among the haystacks. The smell of the clover rose, crushed and pungent and sweet from under my head. Lying in the dark, I held to him. I longed with lips and limbs and blood to die with him then. We were there for hours, it seemed. Then I stood beside him at the head of the road again, drowsy and quiet and content. We made no promises, kissing for last. I knew already he was growing remote from me, his eyes already remote to that madness that beckoned beyond the hills. I heard him go stepping slow, with that swinging stride through the darkness, and I never saw him again.
Telegram for you, mistress.
For me?
Any reply, mistress?
Any what?
Reply.
No reply.
Good day to you, mistress.
What do I do? Oh, God. John? John Brixton? Help me, John! What do I do? Oh, what do I do?
Did you cry, my Chris? What is it?
What do I do? Do I go to France?
Oh, God. Oh, mistress, this is sore news. He'll be buried already. But he's died a man. Mind on that, lass. For king and country.
That's a lie, a lie! My Ewan lost in a French field. He's not dead. He could never die for nothing at all.
Wisht, lassie, wisht.
Their king and their country. Kinraddy's his land. Blaweary's his. What was the king to him? What their damned country? It's nothing to do with you in this telegram. Cowards, liars and bloody men.
Chris?
Che. Oh, God, Che. Che Strachan.
Chris.
My, but you're thinner than ever, Che. Are you back on leave again?
Aye. Chris, I've come to tell you.
What, Che?
Of Ewan.
Ewan? He's not living, is he?
Ewan's dead. Don't vex yourself open else. They can't hurt him more. Even this can't hurt him, though I swore I'd tell you nothing about it. But I know you should know it, Chris.
Well then, what is it?
Ewan was shot as a coward and deserter out there in France.
What? But I thought
I was in a camp nearby and I heard about it by chance. I read Ewan's name on a list of papers that was posted up. The night before he was shot, they let me see him. We sat together in the hut where they'd taken him and he told me, Chris. He deserted from the front line trenches in a blink of fine weather between the rains. He just turned and walked back. Other soldiers must have thought he was a messenger or wounded or maybe on leave. Nobody questioned him. It was 10 in the morning and by the afternoon, taken to the fields, he was about 10 miles from the front. The military police came on him. He was marched back, court-martialed, and found guilty. We sat there in the hut on his last night, and I asked him why he did it. He might have known he'd never get free. He looked at me, Chris, and he said, "It was the wind that came in with the sun." I minded blew eerie, Che. I couldn't believe it was me that stood in a trench. It was just daft to be there. So I turned and got out of it. In a flash, it came to him. The memory of you, Chris, at blew eerie, and his last days here. Mad he'd been, he said. Treated you as a devil might. He tried to hurt you, trying in a nightmare to waken. He knew he'd lost you. He'd known it the moment he'd climbed out the trenches, he said. But he knew he'd be a coward if he didn't try. So out he'd gone, wanting to reach you, knowing as he tramped mile on mile he never would. But he'd made you that promise, he said, that he'd never fail you. Lang syne he'd made it. And he minded on young Ewan. All he'd to say and do, if only he might win to blow weary. "I can tack me, Che, and shoot me tomorrow," he said. "I'll be glad of the rest. Chris lost me through my own cursed daftness." We didn't kiss goodbye, Che. Never said goodbye. But at least you'll never know. And that's best, Che. They tell lies about folk they shoot, and she'll think I just died like the rest. You're not to tell her. I could think of nothing to say, Chris. It was useless to try for a reprieve. I'm only a sergeant. And then sudden like he says, "Mind the peewits, how are the rigs, Jay? Bonnie, they're flying this night in Kinraddy, and Chris sleeping there. And all the how hopped and missed." And he asked me if I'd minded that night of the lightning. And we found you wandering the parks with the two horses. Yon was the night he'd known you liked him well, he said. He tried to mind the song you sang at your wedding, but he couldn't. Neither of us could. The sentry opened the door then, and I had to leave. He wasn't afeard or crying, your lad. Just quiet and calm. But he gripped my hand and said, "Oh man, look at my lass when you see her again. Close. And close. For that kiss that I'll never give her." That was the last I saw him, Chris. They killed him that morning.
I went up the hill to the standing stones with young Ewan when Che had gone. Kinraddy below, the loch shimmering in the autumn sun. Something made me raise my eyes. I stood rigid, fronting him, my lad, as he came up the path through the broom.
layered with glore, was his uniform. His face white, and the great hole sagged and opened, red glazed and black at every upward step he took. I saw the grass wave with no press below his feet. The light in his eyes I could aye bring. A cloud came over the sun. He was close to me now, and I held out my hands to him, blind with tears. His soundless feet carried him to my lips and hands. "Oh, lassie, I've come home," he said.
"It's fine weather for January, Mistress Monroe."
"Aye, it is that, Mr. Brixen."
"And a brave turnout of folk."
"The Lord knows what we're doing up here, though. Hardly a fitting place to commemorate the dead. Mind you, it's just the sort of thing you'd expect from your new minister, and his eyes sniffing about at the hem of your fine Mistress Tavendale."
They could say what they liked about him, but Robert Cahoon had been a plain soldier and fought through the war to its end. That day he walked to the one side of me, up the brae, my young laddie Ewan to the other, his small hand fast in mine. Dark and solemn he was, like his father.
"We have come to honour the people whom the war has taken, and this ancient site is perhaps the memory that best they'd have liked. Mr. Brixen, will you please do us the honour of unveiling the stone?"
"At least the lettering's no too fancy."
"For the memory of Charles Strachan, James Leslie, Robert Duncan, Ewan Tavendale, who were of this land and fell in the Great War in France. Revelation chapter 2, verse 28.
The night was waiting out by on Blaweary Brae, the sun just verging on the hills, and Robert Cahoon's voice went ringing over the loch.
"For I will give you the morning star. In the sunset of an age and an epoch, we may write that for epitaph of the men who were of it. They went quiet and brave from the land they loved. And who knows at the last what memories were with them? The springs and winters of this land, and all the sounds and scents of it that had once been theirs, deep, and a passion of their blood and spirit. Those four who died in France. With them there died a thing older than ourselves. These were the last of the peasants, the last of the old Scots folk. A new generation comes up that will know them not, except as a memory and a song. It was the old Scotland that perished then. Never again will the old speech and the old songs, the old curses and the old benedictions rise, but with alien effort to our lips. And the land changes. The parks and steadings are a desolation where the sheep are pastured. We are told that great machines come soon to till the land, and the great herds come to feed on it. The crofter has gone. The man with the land closer to his heart than the flesh of his body. Nothing, it has been said, is true, but change. Nothing abides. For greed of place and possession and great estate, those four had little heed. The kindness of friends, and the warmth of toil, and the peace of rest. They asked no more from God or man, and no less would they endure. So lest we shame them, let us believe that the new oppressions and foolish greeds are no more than mists that pass. They died for a world that is past, these men. But they did not die for this that we seem to inherit. Beyond it, and us, there shines a greater hope and a newer world, undreamt when these four died. But need we doubt which side of the battle they would range themselves did they live today? Need we doubt the answer they cry to us even now? The four of them, from the places of the sunset.
The dark was near, and the Highlander MacIver played. The flowers of the forest rose and rose and wept for the men who fell in battle. He tore at your heart, the piper, marching there round the standing stones, the tune leaping up the moor and echoing across the loch. I stood quiet, holding my boy by the hand, looking down on Blaweary's fields. And syne folk saw that the dark had come, and they began to stream down the hill, some looking back. They saw Robert Cahoon standing behind me, waiting for me. We'd the last of the light with us up there. And maybe we didn't need it, or heed it. You can do without the day if you've a lamp quiet, lighted and kind in your heart.
In Sunset Song, Chris Guthrie was played by Leslie Hart, Ewan Tavendale by Finn Den Hertog, Chase Strachan, Douglas Russell, Long Rob, Matthew Zajac, Mistress Munro, Estrid Barton, Kirsty, Shona Price, Reverend Cahoon, Fraser Sivright, and Reverend Gibbon by Keith Hutchin. Sunset Song by Lewis Grassic Gibbon was dramatised by Gerda Stevenson and produced by David Ian Neville.
Tomorrow at the same time, it's the omnibus edition of our epic drama series set in Great War Britain 100 years ago this week. Everyone is looking to do their bit for the war effort in Homefront.
70 years since the liberation of Auschwitz, Michael Rosen marks Holocaust Memorial Day.
Hidden in the secret annex in the house in Amsterdam, Anne Frank could see a horse chestnut tree which grew in the gardens below. She wrote that she couldn't be unhappy when she looked at the tree.
Anne Frank's trees, keeping the memory alive.
It is our responsibility to acquire the memories of survivors and to pass those memories on.
I'm 84 and I don't know how much longer I'm going to be able to do this. Who will do it when we are gone?
On Tuesday morning at 11, over on BBC Radio 4 and then online.
On BBC Radio 4 Extra on Friday, the conductor and comedian Rainer Hirsch explored some of the more unusual classical percussion instruments, such as the cannon, anvil, and even the cabbage.
I noticed in Vienna there's something called the vegetable orchestra.
Sorry to stop you there so quickly, Fiona, but I'm pretty sure that some of the listeners might think that you said vegetable orchestra.
Vegetable orchestra.
You did.
Where they play fresh vegetables and they inject, for example, a drill into a carrot, which makes a very interesting sound, or mash up a piece of cucumber or rub together two aubergine. And there's a whole orchestra. I think they may be having us on, but it's quite good fun.
Gershwin's Horns, tomorrow at 1:30 and again in the evening at 8:30.
BBC Radio 4 Extra.
It's 11 o'clock and in the next hour we have stories and drama. Drawing on his own inner landscape, Trevor Preston has created an unusual exploration of life with bipolar disorder in our play in 15 minutes. Later, the comedy show about modern feminism, Bridget Christie Minds the Gap, and Benedict Cumberbatch, Stephanie Cole and Roger Allam star in Cabin Pressure at 11:30, all in the Comedy Club with Holly Byrne, beginning at 10 tonight. Now it's time for another tale from Caris Bray's award-winning collection of short stories, Sweet Home. Emma Fielding reads, The Rescue.
The supermarket glows like a sprawling lighthouse in the darkness of the empty car park.
The father approaches the entrance and finds a trolley to lean on. As he walks, he catches glimpses of himself in reflective surfaces. Eye bags dip past his cheekbones. They are puffed with the unrealised hopes of constant googling. Sometimes he doesn't recognise his reflection in the mirrored glass and metallic fittings. Sometimes he feels sorry for the jaded old man reflected there. He shuffles past the newspaper stand and turns left. He browses the greetings cards, looking for one that he might send to the sun. But nothing will do. He trundles aimlessly down the electrical aisle, wondering if the sun still has the new kettle. Perhaps he should buy another, in anticipation of the new kettle's inevitable disappearance. Or perhaps he should buy a microwave to replace the one that vanished last year. It would be a great relief to know that the sun might eat something hot, if only for a matter of days or weeks. The father likes to imagine that there is something that will jog the son's memory and rescue him from the world he began to inhabit 20 years ago. It's just a process of elimination, he tells himself. But secretly he knows that he is engaged in a much harder operation. In the beginning, he thought the rescue would be easy. Equipped with a Say No to Drugs book and audio cassette, he set out to winch the son to safety. Just say no, he pleaded. The son laughed. Oh, piss off, Dad, he said. We aren't the kind of people who say piss off to each other, the father protested, before he understood that there are worse things than words. There were more books. Books that alternately blamed and encouraged the father. The books all agreed on one thing. The son had to reach rock bottom before things would get better. The father thought that they had reached rock bottom when the son dropped out of college and didn't take his A-levels, despite being predicted a B in maths. Remembering this makes him laugh. His past expectations tickle him like a dry cough. He thought they were at rock bottom when the son stole £500 from the mother's bank account. He thought it again when the son borrowed the car and crashed it. The father was certain they were at rock bottom when the son was admitted to the psychiatric hospital, and he followed the nurses around, telling them that the son used to be good at maths, in order to give them some idea of the man they were about to rescue. When the son became homeless, the father was convinced that things couldn't get worse. And then the council housed the son in a basement flat of a block inhabited by social misfits and other drug addicts. Every subsequent incremental worsening of the son's life over the intervening years has led the father to think, this is it, we are here at last. And he has settled in, made accommodations and looked for the positive. There is nothing worse than death, he thinks. Where there is life, there is hope, he thinks. There has to be. There is. He won't have it that there's not.